Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's Austrian Wine Time Masterclass with Joseph Bauer, Florian, and Leigh. Florian and Leigh are partners in love and business. My name is Antoinette Landeshan from Cork and Fork in Washington, D.C. We are a premium wine store founded by a multi-generational flying winemaker originally from Champagne, France. I am delighted to introduce today's producer, Joseph Bauer. Joseph and Christine Bauer represent the fourth generation of the winery, and their children, Victoria, Katerina, and Florian, the fifth. In addition to overtaking the winery, Florian is also producing his own wines. Joseph, Christine, and Florian are managing the 13-hectare winery together, focusing on fruity wines with great drinkability. For those joining us live, we'd love to hear from you. Place your questions in the Q&A, and we will get to them, time allowing. Since our guests are joining us live from Austria, quite a few hours ahead of us here in the United States, we will move immediately into the presentation. First, we will pass the mic over to Klaus Wittauer, owner of KW Selections, importer of fine wines of Austria. Klaus, whenever you're ready.
Oh, I have to look for my mic here. Okay. Thank you. This is such a wonderful day because Antoinette just is doing her 22nd Austrian masterclass. So congratulations, Antoinette. Thank you very much for introducing so many people to those delicious Austrian wines, which I have been preaching about for 20 plus years. And Joe, you've been one of the pioneers together with Anton Bauer, same village, both names Bauer, but you guys are not really related. Even so, you just live two houses apart. But Bauer is like Smith in Austria, right? There's lots of, if you open the phone book and if you look at Bauer, you find lots of Bauers. It takes a little while. So Nick, thanks for joining us as well. Siema Wines is the importer for these delicious Grüner Veltliners and Riesling, because actually this is one of the reasons, Joe, you in my portfolio, is because you make some kick-ass Riesling. So that's going to be a finish off with that. So Joe, why don't you introduce the people here? You're not by yourself. This young guy and this beautiful lady in the middle, my goodness, you lucky you. When I met you first, Flo, how old were you 20 years ago?
He was one.
He was one.
One, yes.
Were you walking?
Yes, he's walking.
He started walking early. Well, good. Now, let's go right into my presentation, unless you want to say a few words to us, Joe, because I like to get you on the full screen. Greetings.
Okay, yes, I'm Joe Bauer. I make wine since 82 last century. Studied in a winemaker school in Klosterneuburg, the famous winemaker school in Austria. Make it in the fourth generation. My father, my grandfather, my grandfather do it since 80 the winery and restaurant. My great grandfather buy it at 1896, and here in science this time we make wine and have a restaurant in Feuersbrunn.
1896, right?
1896, yes.
Yeah, and here's a picture from 1911.
11, yes.
And that's your family's restaurant. Your brother runs this restaurant.
The home of my parents. It is a restaurant since so long time. The street here you see across is a directly street from Vienna to Krems or Langenlois. So it was a restaurant for Fuhrweg.
People who drove with horses.
With horses, yeah. And for a long time, in 1911, we started here in Austria. Austria was one of the 1911 imperium, one of the greatest imperiums in Europe. And here was started in between 1905 to 06. We started with Plaston.
Make the streets to like get on the road.
Yeah.
Like,
but here you see it. It was the streets was only
You're missing the asphalt, but otherwise, I must say, in 1911, you already built some very wide roads here in Feiersbrunn. You were looking ahead. Nick, don't you remember? You've been there. This almost looks the same. The only thing we're missing is the asphalt, right?
It is amazing that it is that similar, except for the paving, and that just, you know. Apparently, when people build things with quality and they keep it up from generation to generation, they last.
Yeah.
Just like the wines.
So Feiersbrunn, the fires fountain, if you translate the name of the word, and it goes way, way back, the history of this village. And Joe Bauer, like he said, you know, in 1886 or 96, he said your grandfather got this land, and your brother took over the restaurant, and you got stuck with the winery, or you wanted the winery. You were the farmer, right? And your brother was the cook.
Yes. I'm the so different. I like restaurants to drink, to eat and drink wine. And my brother says he likes wine, but only he likes wine, so it is bottled.
And he doesn't want to do the hard labor, because wine, you know, it takes a long time. It takes an entire year to grow it, and it takes generation to know what grapes to plant in what vineyard, in what plot. And then it takes a little time in the cellar to guide the wine. You don't manipulate it. You just guide it into this delicious stuff, what I have in my glass here. And of course, you are very focused on easy, fruit-driven, typical Austrian Grüner Veltliner. That's probably why you are in my portfolio, and that's why we sell you so well. Because, you know, in the Wagram, and it's all about the Lös. Lös, right? That is the key word, Wagram and Lös. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, Lös is a sandy soil. It's coming from the end of the Ice Age glaciers in the south, where the Alpine Mountains started in Austria and beginning in Vienna. And the Lös is blowing on with winds on the north side. And so different. On the top of the hill, you have mineralic soil, and in the middle is a lot of loess soil, 25 meters deep.
And the roots of the vines always grow or go as far down till they find water, and the loess lets the water grow straight through, and that's why we have such deep-rooted vines, and we don't have to irrigate. And then on the higher top of the hill, where the Danube, when it was flowing wild, it deposited a lot of Schotter. It's almost like that red Schotter like you find in the Mosel, right?
Yeah, maybe more in Pfalz also. Gravel,
yes. In the Mosel, you have more of the schist, and in the Pfalz, you have the gravel, exactly. And that's also after World War II, of course, you know, a lot of things was destroyed, and we had to replant a lot of the vines. And since Grüner Veltliner was the local grape in Austria, and it was a high-yielding grape, and especially in Loos, it grows quite well. That's why we have so many Grüner Veltliner in Austria. It's not because you guys are farmers and you basically make the wine for mostly the local market, especially your father and grandfather. Isn't that correct?
It's correct, yes.
Yeah. And then, but you also had a little bit of on the top where nothing else grows. Grüner Veltliner wouldn't grow on this hard hillsides on the top. That's why you planted the Riesling, because that's the only thing really growing up there. And that's why we have, in Austria, we have about 30% of the vines of Grüner Veltliner, but Riesling is only 4%. How is it in your winery? How you divide it up in your winery?
I like Riesling. I prefer Riesling for myself. I like Riesling, and in our winery we have a little bit less than 20% of our vineyards are planted with Riesling.
So Nick, do you hear this? He's walking away. We need to sell more Riesling. We'll bring in some more Riesling. So here you see these loose kind of terraces. It's very, very deep, and the wines just go right through it because the water runs right through it when it rains. And, you know, they're trained to find the water further down. And that also brings a lot of flavor into this Grüner Veltliner. And that's also what Grüner Veltliner, especially in the Wagram, they get that tropical fruit, that little aroma, banana, pineapple, very aromatic stuff. So Austria located, I always say, east of Paris. Nothing in common with Germany, except we speak the language, the same language. But when it comes to wine, our wines get riper. Even so, we have kind of the same acidity as in Germany, but we don't have to offset sometimes the acidity with residual sugar. What we get in Austria, we get the perfect balance, the perfect ripeness, the harmony, and the wines are not getting too ripe. So the alcohol levels stay in between 11 and 12 and a half, seldom go over 13%. Of course, climate change is happening. So we are getting a little bit more riper vintages, but the wineries really work and they can manage that. So my little spiel about Austrian wines and how I got into Austrian wines, not just because I'm Austrian, but I really believe in the unique and exceptional quality of Austrian wines. We are such a small percentage of the world wine production, less than 1%. So we don't have any corporations, any outside investments interested in Austrian wines. So it's true, all family, sometimes two and three generations working together. And it's all about keeping that land and making the pest out of the land and not what the market. So it's not what the market demands, it's the land. And then these like Joe, he doesn't look like he's old enough to retire, but he's about to ready to turn over the winery to his son, who has ideas, but also respects his father and his grandfather. So they're not just, you know, he went to school, he learned things and all this great stuff going on. So this is really what Austria is all about. Skiing in the West, I always have to bring this in because I am a skier and I am from the West. I'm from Salzburg, little village Leogang. Next year, we have the World Championship of Skiing right here. So you know where I'm going to be, hopefully. And then the vineyards are all on the east. And basically here along the Danube, the Donau, the Danube Valley, Wagram, this is where Joe is located. And this is where we have those great Grüner Veltliners. So Niederösterreich, Lower Austria, is the largest wine region. Vienna, a wine region itself, is within Lower Austria. Then we have Burgenland. Burgenland is on the eastern side, and then Styria, Steiermark in the south. We are a white wine country, so we produce about 67% white wine, but red wines is starting to do more and more. And I know, Flo, you are experimenting with more and more red wines because, of course, you have Anton Bauer in the Wagram, who is also a big red wine maker, and you guys do even more. But today we are concentrating on Grüner Veltliner and Riesling. And of course, Austrian wine is all the strictest wine law in the world. I'm not gonna bore you with too many details here. But when you see the Austrian wine, you look at the cap, and then you know this is very, very strictly regulated, and we really make sure that you get the best product. What's on the label is also in the bottle. We are separating ourselves very much from the German wine law. We are totally leaving that part of where the wines were Spätlese and Auslese and Baron Auslese. We only keep that for the dessert wine category. But like Cuviers and Cabinet, like we used to label them, that's in the past. We are very much going into a DAC, AOC system like you have in France and Italy. There's really nothing different, except Joe, what's going on in the Wagram? You guys are having a little problem. There's 17 DACs in Austria, and you guys in the Wagram region can't get it together. What's going on?
We are the last free fighters.
Ah.
web travelers. The Wagram area is has two parts of the greatest part is in the north. So it's, we live in Feuersbrunn. It's really the Wagram area in the north of the Danube. And we have a little bit on the south side in near Vienna, close to Neuburg. Here is a little, we have different opinions between winemaking, between a DC wine. And so we hope 21 we get a DC. We hope it's not really we hope.
What?
We are one of the last and
It's actually a good thing, Joe, because sometimes at the end, all the mistakes are out of the way, and you guys are going to have the best regulations and the best system. I totally agree with you. There's another winery down here I represent in the Termin region, Heinrich Hartl, and you two guys fight it out, make sure it's perfect. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. Because what matters is the producer, the person who makes the wine. That's really at the end of the day is what matters. Also, a lot of times you guys don't forget to look at the back label, because if you see KW Selection on the back label, then you know I am behind it and I tasted the wine for you ahead of time and make sure it's perfect. So these are all the regulations we are going into in this DA system. It's nothing new. It's exactly the same as in Burgundy, but finally we can, like, all these Psalms and all these high tech and people who have like a straight mind, we can tell them, you know, there's on the bottom of the tier, there's regional wines, there's wines from the area, wines from the Wagram. Then in the middle tier, there's wines from the village. Like the last wine we're ending up today with is the Riesling Feuersbrunn. So it means all the grapes from that Riesling come from that village. And then we go on the top tier, and that's Riedenwein. Ried means vineyard. So these are wines from a specific vineyard, certain areas which we know that particular vineyard makes better wines. At the end of the day, we want to charge more for that wine. That's what it's all about. But anyway, this is the system. So take your time. The longer you take, the longer I have built. And you agree with me, Nick, there? That longer time we have to sell these wines at these incredible prices.
I hope we always have these wines at these incredible prices. Joe's wines always over deliver. In fact, I was reaching through my wine cellar when I disappeared just a little bit ago to pull out an old 2011 Hengstberg, just because these wines are always stunning. And there's nothing better to me than really good old Riesling. But I get ahead of myself. First, the Grüners.
Grüner. So Riesling and Grüner Veltliner, Danube Valley, Niederösterreich, Wagram is the region. Like I mentioned already, these are loose terraces, easy to work. You can actually drive in with the tractor. You can make some beautiful terraces. And the sun kind of just takes in and makes those grapes so beautiful, ripe, and luscious. So again, here's, I'm a big map guy. So I have to show you again, the Danube kind of comes from Germany, the second longest river in Europe. It comes into the Wachau when it enters Niederösterreich and goes to the Kremstal. Then this is all the Wagram here. So Joseph and Anton Bauer in the village of Feuersbrunn. And then it goes through Vienna. And then it kind of Carnuntum, that's where I had Christina Netzel a couple days ago. And then it goes into the eastern part, Bratislava, down to Budapest and ends up in the Black Sea. So Grüne Veltliner, as we mentioned so many times, our flagship, 30% of Austrian vineyards are planted with Grüne Veltliner. And it's so unique because a little bit like Chardonnay, Grüne Veltliner has different, many different faces. So if somebody tells me, I don't like Grüne Veltliner or I don't like Chardonnay, please think again. You may have not liked that one wine you have tasted, but there is so many different styles. And that's, I think, Antoinette, you showed it so beautiful in these 22 classes with all these different growers, that it's not just one Grüne Veltliner Austria produces. Each area, each winemaker makes so many different styles, and that's what really got me into this as well. And then, of course, Riesling, it's that tiny little percentage, 4% overall in Austria, but at Joseph Bauer, it's a big part, almost 20%. So the tasting today, we go right into it. We're doing only three wines, so it's quite simple, but I have four wines because I actually tasting two vintages. I think in your tasting, you still have the 2019 Grüne Veltliner, which actually we had a Kleitz by the glass placement last year for that. Isn't that correct, Nick?
Indeed, all the Clyde's restaurant groups, the largest restaurant chain in the DC area, said out of everything they tried, and they had at least 20 different Grüners, they said Joe's stood out as the most approachable, flavorful, and at the same time, something they couldn't stop drinking. So we are super excited about that.
Joe, remember you came to for your brother's 50th birthday 2 years ago to Washington?
Yes, yeah.
And we had dinner at
Clyde's
downtown at Clyde's
Old Abbott Grill, yeah.
Old Abbott Grill. That and Bart came over to the table and he said, "Joe, we're gonna serve your Grüne Veltliner." So, thank you, Nick. Thank you to Siema. Thank you to Clyde's. And then we
thanks
are
going to Joe for the wine.
The wine. And then we're gonna go into the Caterina. Joe will tell us about it, why he named it Caterina, and they're going to finish up with the Riesling, the Feuersbrunn Riesling, which actually was voted as the number one Riesling of Wagram in 2019, right? It was you got the best Riesling of the region with that particular wine. That's why it sold out, Bill, Mick. So here, let's enter the winery. Joe actually has a little tasting room on the weekends. Saturday, you can go between 10 and 5. Monday to Friday, you need an appointment. So you just need to call me and I'll get you in there. I have connections. So Joe, Leah, Flo, take it away. 2019, Feuersbrunn or Wagram, Grüne Veltliner. And then we also can talk about the 20 as well, because I have the 22. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about it.
Grüne Veltliner, Wagram, fermented in temperature controlled fermentation in stainless steel tanks.
Yeah. Like that. A plant. Between a lot of our vineyards, Wagram. This is the region wine. We have also vineyards in the next village, Gösing, Gmirk, Tony Bauer's Gmirk or Gmirk. So we have and in this region also vineyards, and we planted from Feuersbrunn to the Gösing, so it's Wagram.
I guess that's why I like this wine so much, I guess.
Okay.
It tastes very familiar. There's some real familiar, because it's at the flatter area of the Hengstberg, So the sun kind of hits the vineyards a little bit different. You don't get that super ripeness, and you get a bit more of that minerality, that little bell pepper sometimes, or almost a little herbal tea character, like green tea, which makes this wine such an easy drinking, pleasant. I mean, I can drink this from breakfast to lunch to the afternoon into the Horiga, right? All day long.
Yes.
I think what I love about this wine, especially when it comes to Gruner Veltliner, it is, you know, you've touched on how Gruner is so sensitive to the soil and the climate, but also to the altitude. And so what you see in this bottle is Joe and Florian taking, you know, a little bit from many different vineyards and creating this wine with just amazing balance and drinkability. You know, a little more fruitiness from some of the lower stuff, a little more mineraliness some from the higher up stuff. And it is that gateway to everything that Gruner Veltliner can be. You know, it's hard not to find at least one little aspect of this wine that doesn't hit exactly what somebody's looking for in a very crisp white wine. And so from here to be able to go off to both Katharina and Reed Spiegel and see what happens when you narrow your focus is just a perfect kind of class of Gruner Veltliner in one winery, in one location.
It's amazing. I love the 19. It's drinking so beautiful. But then when I get the 20 and I put my nose in that 20, it's like jumping out at me. It's like a symphony of flowers and aromas. And it's like, it takes me quite a few years back, because this is really what I, when I first started 20 years ago, this is that really young Austrian, fresh, aromatic floral. It smells like Viognier, but it has, right, Nick? But it has nothing at the palate. There's no heaviness. There's no honeysuckle. It's just so beautiful.
There's that little wisp of really fresh pineapple right on the nose, but then to go right into the mineral aspects and the stoniness and that beautifully crisp, dry finish. It sucks you in, takes all the moisture out, and makes you say, wait, I've got to go back and have some more. And again, every single time that tropical fruit just explodes out of the glass. Really well done.
What? When you go to Austria, you know, when you go to a restaurant in America, you always have the ice water. We have a glass of ice water. Or in Austria, we have a little bit mineral water. But really, what we drink is this type of Gruner Veltliner. That's what you have with your meal. That's what you have with your appetizer. That's what you have in the afternoon when you get together. So everybody should have at least a case of this wine in their house all the time. Because you never know how many people are going to come over. Because we are opening up. Remember, Corona is past. It's gone. It's history. We are going to get together again. We're going to have fun. And this is just the perfect wine to introduce friends, neighbors, people you haven't really talked to your house, to your neighbor, to your garden, to the outside. This is an outside drinking wine. So any more final words to this wine? Joe, Flo, Nick, Antoinette, you can drink today. Last class.
It also represents the loess soil really good, because it has like such a creaminess and mineralic on the palate as well. And I think that's also a good like play together with the acidity and the residual sugar as well. So you also have that very good in common. And we just had like a photo shoot in the past month, I think. And we tried to like represent the fruit characteristics of the wine in a glass. So you can see it has like this black pepper aromas. It has a little bit of pear as well, with really good combination of like citric and citric taste, and lemon as well. A little bit of a hint of a lime and a hint of melon, but I think it represents very good the Wagram and the soils they have.
Nick, did we hit it? This is something new. I kind of bring this out today, the glass with the little aromas, with the flavors.
I love it. That is fantastic. That is something that you should put that out on posters for everyone.
So yeah, this is kind of the taste profile, you know, what's in this beautiful little glass of Grüner Veltliner. This is what you're going to get. And of course, it's all family and small production, hand harvested. We also have these little fogs in Feuersbrunn, right? You kind of, in the harvest time, it's a little bit, little stressful sometimes, right? You want to harvest the grapes, but you can't, because the fog is there. You have to wait till the fog lifts. And
here in Lower Austria, along the Danube, you have in at the end of September and in October, you have each day in the morning you have a fog. It's normally a high humid from the Danube. Cold temperatures bring the fog, and so I think so at 9 a.m. The sun is coming, and when it should be dry,
and that's the perfect thing, because we don't have to, we bring in the grapes at a lower temperature, and that's how we can preserve this beautiful acidity, and that's why these wines are singing to you in the glass, because they're not, the alcohol levels are just perfect, but we get ripeness. So we don't get just wimpy wines. We get wines which have structure and have a nice mouthfeel. I mean, even at that price range, trust me, anywhere else in the world, they have to play with residual sugar to make that mouthfeel. In Austria, it's natural. We can do it, just nature. And of course, I love talking about this entry level and fun wines to drink, but let's move up a little bit and let's go into your Caterina. You make some single vineyard Grüner Veltliners too, but what this particular wine always strikes me as a really, really fun wine. And Joe or Flo, go ahead and tell us a little bit more about this 2019 Caterina Grüner Veltliner.
The Grüner Veltliner, it's called after my sister Caterina. Three times from many different vineyards to get also a good balanced Grüner Veltliner. It's also temperature controlled fermentation with yeast in stainless steel tanks. It's also totally from less soils.
I love the texture and mouthfeel of this wine. Ever since you introduced this to me, I've always been amazed by that. It's not quite as big as some of the Wachau Smaragds, but it has some of that richness that seems to linger and just hold onto the palate really, really nicely. And again, that little stony, minerally, yeasty combination is just, it's swoon-worthy. This wine keeps getting better and better every time you guys make it. It is so fantastic.
Well, I think it's really much, Joe, you explained that to me one time, is like you take different tanks from different time of the harvest. So you take...
We started in the same week, already in the same vineyards. We have three times to pick up the grapes, early harvest. So we take the fresh aromatics, the fresh, and we take the acidity. One week, 2 weeks later, we do the second pickup time. The most grapes are here, so you have a full ripeness, a good ripeness, but a fresh, fruity, typically Grüner Veltliner aromatics, and a little bit the best grapes. Waited one week or 2 weeks later, we pick up with our single vineyards wines at the last, in the end of October, most time in the end of October, or it will start in the first week of November. So you have a really high ripeness, maybe a little bit, the grapes will be concentrated. The skin is very thin. So in the end of October and beginning of November, you have times with, here is coming a warm wind from the Alps, and he concentrate the grapes. So you have more concentrate from sugar, more concentrate from acid, and you have a little bit oxidation in the grapes. So you have different aromatics, different flavors. And here this is, we do it, we pick up, press it and make the fermentation different tanks. And when we blend, it should be a wine with typically fresh fruit, Grüner Veltliner, a good balance in acid, not too high ripeness, not too high alcohol, but only full bodied from the last times. Yes, yeah? So this should be the category.
Yeah, this really brings in my sommelier times. So with the first Grüner Veltliner you drink, like I said, from breakfast on, all day long, this now I go to the meal. I go to, you know, we do Wiener Schnitzel in Austria, we do fried food, we do richer food, a lot of veal, pork, we do a lot of pork dishes. And that's why I serve this then with, isn't it? I mean, it's just good stuff. And I love that. I have to go back into my presentation. I don't know if it's going to come. Oh, here we go. So there is the profile in the glass. Who wants to explain?
Yes. So we have again like this little spices of the pepper. That's just typical for a Grüner Veltliner. And we also have a hint of apples, like more like ripe apples, red apples. Again, with a little citric aromas. And I think it's also good, like explain when you say it's also has some honey hints. So I think it's a really good combination of all the ingredients together, and that makes the wine really full bodied and acidity. It has also a quiet medium plus aftertaste. So yeah,
I love this photo.
Balanced.
I can't say how much those are perfect, and we need to put them in every store on every shelf wherever a bottle of these are.
So I think it represents like very well the wine. So if you don't need to say a lot, you just look at the picture and then everything's kind of clear. So
I'm sorry, I'm going to be quiet because I can't stop drinking it.
Yeah, and I had to put myself on mute because I had a helicopter flying over top of me, and I guess he was looking for me because I'm drinking too much here. But this is just the next level of Grüner Veltliner, and the great thing is it's not over the top, so it's still something I can have fun, I can enjoy drinking. I don't have to think in too much. I also don't have to think about it. I paid way too much for this bottle of wine, so I can drink a second bottle too. And it's just a great stuff, Joe, you're making for us here. So thank you. And Flo, if I want to give you an advice, please hold on to Leah. Do whatever she asks you to do. She is good. Let's see where my presentation goes. I lost my little thing here. We're going in to Riesling, unless anybody has other questions or comments on the Grüner. I think timing, we need to go to the Riesling. Okay, so who wants to take it from here? 100% Riesling from Feuersprung. Nobody? I guess I have to pour myself some. Everybody wants to drink Riesling. And it's nothing like German Riesling. Austrian Rieslings a little bit like Alsace Rieslings. I worked many years in L'Auberge François. We are on the same latitude as Alsace, except Austria is just a little tiny cooler than actually Alsace. So our Rieslings tend to be really, really stone fruit. It's that apricot, peach, stone fruit you get out of these Rieslings. And then great acidity, just a perfect balance. So anybody, Joe, Flo, Leah, take it away from me.
Yeah, 100% Riesling from this mineralic gravel from the Danube. Our Rieslings are all planted in one vineyard site. Also fermented in stainless steel tanks with temperature controlled with yeast. So very fruity, basically, with a good sugar and acidity balance.
Yeah, you got 7.2 gram acidity, even though there's 5.2 gram residual sugar, but the 7.2 acid balanced that completely out. And, you know, we got 13% alcohol. So 19 was a ripe vintage, but it's all natural. There's no chapelization in Austria. It's not allowed. This is all natural. This is just the harmony. That's what's there. That Riesling really, really sings. It plays Mozart. There's Mozart. I'm from Salzburg. This is Mozart in the bottle. The Zauberflöte. This is the Zauberflöte.
I think just like with the Gruner Veltliner that is so easy and approachable, this changes people's attitudes, thoughts, and beliefs about Riesling. So much in America, we are considering Riesling as just one of two things, either super sweet or that really bone dry style that you know, you have to love. You have to be a wine geek to get into it. And yet along comes this one with the beautiful nose. Again, the little mixture of white flowers and fruit that is very, very attractive and draws you in even before you have a sip and makes you want to like it. And then it's so clean. It's so crisp with the right, again, balance of sweetness and fruitiness with stoniness and dryness. And this does not, as much as Klaus, you were saying, you know, there's some differences between Riesling. I grew up in the Finger Lakes of New York thinking, you know, there was Finger Lakes Riesling and there was French Riesling and there was German Riesling. And yet this comes in and I think this really carves out a niche for what Austrian Riesling can be, different from all of those things and really just exceptional.
Yes.
Well put, Mr. Nick. You just deserved a big raise, but you're in sales, so you're selling more wine, you make more money.
So I'll take another glass.
Get another glass. We just have to bring in more. We just have to talk to your boss and your people in Siema who are ordering the wines to make sure that there's always a pallet minimum on the water and two pallets in your warehouse. That's kind of what you have to have for this type of wine, because once people discover Riesling is actually something delicious, I think we're going to sell more than New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs on this. So I can show you some of some sales for what some New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs do. I think Antoinette, your father worked in New Zealand once too, so he knows a little bit about that too. Riesling from Austria. I know we make Grüner Veltliner and I know we are, but my heart is in Riesling. And Cho, you know, one of the reasons you are in my portfolio is because you make the best Rieslings in Feuersprung and in that area. That's also 2019 Feuersprung Riesling, number one Riesling in the Wagram. If you go a few miles upstream from the Danube, you might get this kind of quality. You probably do get it. They make the best Rieslings in Austria. But you probably pay 2 and 3 times more because they have those steep terraces where they cannot go in with the tractor. You have the opportunity where you actually can produce these wines in a more easier way. So, but at the end of the day, in a blind tasting, I love your Riesling. I don't have that picture yet with the glass. You have to send me a Riesling picture. We were still working on it. But there's another wine which we don't taste today, but it's coming. We got in an early palate of the rosé. Joe makes a very, very delicious rosé with a grape variety, which is not allowed in Austria, right, Joe? Can you tell us a little story about that?
Well,
are you going to be locked up if you say it?
Years ago, we planted Merlot in a vineyard, and the half Merlot, the half Cabernet Sauvignon. And 5-6 years ago, we see the Cabernet Sauvignon was what you, the grapes are red, and the Merlot would be so a little bit red, more rosé, more rosé. What is this? The ripeness is later. Merlot should be earlier ripeness as Cabernet Sauvignon. And so we show it to we would bring it to a DNA. What is this? This is not Merlot. And now we know it is Grenache, but Grenache is a kind of grape is not allowed in to bring in. In Austria, to bring quality wines in Austria, it's not so. It is Merlot. It is Merlot, but it looks like and tastes so as Grenache. Okay.
So for Austrian wine law, the blend is Zweigelt, Merlot, and Cabernet Sauvignon, but in actuality, there's a little bit Grenache in that rosé from Joe Bauer, and it really brings me to the Provence. This is just that perfect rosé. So the first palette we sold in just like this year. We have two palettes on the water. It's coming in. So look out. It should be landing very, very soon. And of course, I have to bring in this little picture because when Flo decided to get in Dad's footsteps, Joe kind of invested in a very expensive new press, and then you start to buy a little bit of those little new robots, or what are those over here in that corner on the left?
The amphoras
called clavers. They're made out of ceramic, and in this clavers I produce my two wines, a Pinot Blanc and a Volta Vetrina. Spontaneous fermented. And also they are fermented in new French oak barrels.
Well, that's incredibly exciting to see. I love amphora wines. And you said Pinot Blanc and Gruner?
Volta Vetrina. Volta Vetrina and Pinot Blanc he makes in this natural way. We have to get you some tattoos on it to be a real natural winemaker, and you have to have some holes in your jeans and stuff like this, you know, and then you go right in, fit right into it. This is kind of the end because we have a couple more things and we want to bring in everybody in. But again, Austrian wines, food and wine, this is what it's all about, from schnitzel to sushi. Austrian wines go with just everything. So here I have a beautiful picture from your brother's restaurant. This is the Wiener Schnitzel with the parsley potatoes and always a fresh salad. It's all about the local. It's farm to table. And then over here with the Riesling, we have a salmon with the foam and all this kind of really delicious stuff. So I'm gonna stop this presentation and bring everybody in. Nick, Antoinette, Joel, Flo, well, thank you.
I'm going to hijack your presentation then if I can, because I have one more thing from my cellar that I wanted to pull out just to touch on, because I remember when I first went over to Austria that you pulled me out of the tasting with Anton Bauer, and everybody was looking at, where is he going? Why does he get to go have more wines? And then when I came back and told them about the incredible wines that I was having with just Joe and I sitting down in the cellar, one of the ones that really struck me was the Bella Victoria. Yeah. I have an old 2011 where Joe is playing around with some Zweigelt and some Cabernet. And so to see Florian doing these fun things with the amphoras, this is my little pitch for why you should go to Austria and why Antoinette's going to have a great time when she finally gets to go, because these are things we don't get to see over in America. And so you have to go to the winery and find yourself those tasting hours, or as Klaus said, make the phone call so you get in there and see some really, really great stuff, because you have no idea. Joe, you are so laid back, and it's amazing. The quality of wines you produce, and yet the level of humility you have, is fantastic. These are outstanding wines, everyone. The sooner you drink them, the sooner you'll realize they are some of the best kept secrets. So I will step down and have a little more to drink, but I have one last bottle, so I need to come back so I can replenish.
Thanks, Nick. I know it. I know the time we share. You give me, I give you Bella Victoria.
It was a good trade.
Well, excellent. Thank you so much, everyone. We have a short 2-minute video to share before we start to say our good nights. So I'll go ahead and play this for us.
I just want to take this over and say thank you for this incredible series you have done and put together. When I saw it, Nick probably can, I asked Nick, if you can she really pull that off? Can she do that? That's like, how can you do a winemaker from Austria at 11 o'clock at night, Austrian time, 22 times, and you pulled it off?
I can't wait till we get to do this again next year.
We will do that again.
We'll see you next year.
That's right. Perfect. Well, Joseph, Florian, and Leah, any final thoughts to share with us? Come visit us in Austria. Drink.
Yes. Come, yeah.
I am a firm believer in the quality of Austrian wines, and I am very excited to champion the wines from this region. And Klaus, I cannot emphasize enough how supportive you were of these programs. And I'm so excited to have all of this information on YouTube for people to view, consumers and trade alike, because there's just so much to learn about this amazing region, and it's just getting better and better every year. So thank you also for joining us. And Joseph, thank you so much for making these wines. They're absolutely, absolutely stunning. So I'll just do my quick outro as per usual, and then we will say our final goodnight. So thank you for joining us today. We appreciate everyone's interest in the great wines of Austria. We encourage you to visit our website calendar. Unfortunately, there are no more upcoming Austrian wine events to view, but we are very grateful for all of the participants in this program. So good night to everyone. I'm going to end the meeting for all. Thank you so much.
Prost.
Yes. Good night. Thank you.
Bye.